Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dr. Glenn Tonser as we talk about the state of the cattle market in just a moment.
The wildfires in Oklahoma were devastating to many rural families. One family affected was a firefighter himself. His PharmaSure policy paid quickly, just like his agent promised. You see, his dad was his agent and knew the highly rated company would pay. PharmaSure is trusted by agents when they sell a policy to their own family. And isn't that the best testament? PharmaSure. To locate an agent near you, go to PharmaSure.com. Join the thousands who already have.
It's the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Association 37th Annual All Breed Bull Sale. It's Saturday, February 7th at 12:15 at the Cheyenne Ag Pavilion. The sale includes bulls consigned from the Black Hereford Ranch, 2-H Farms, Murrow Farms, Moliette Angus, and many more. The sale features some 40-plus breed age bulls registered in commercial Angus, Hereford, Red Angus, Simmental, and others. For more information, call 580-497-7366 or send an email to rmccattlemen@yahoo.com.
With gasoline prices cut in half compared to last summer and last spring, consumers have got more dollars in their pocket. And according to Glenn Tonser, Extension Livestock Market Economist at Kansas State University, that means more money for discretionary buying purchases like beef.
It's a mixed bag, right? And like all good economists, I give you a long answer to that. But all meat products are what we call normal goods. And as their incomes go up, or in this case, disposable incomes go up because fuel costs or energy more generally are going down, we expect the public to buy more of a product. Short term, they can't do that because we only have so many pounds to offer, right? But going forward, we expect that to show up in the form of higher prices, basically. That definitely has already helped the entire protein complex. It's a reason to be kind of bullish on the demand front and many fronts there because U.S. consumer disposable income's up. But I always mitigate it just a little bit because some of our key exporting partners, such as Russia and some others that are more dependent upon oil income, are likely to import fewer protein pounds because of the hit it is to their economy. In aggregate, I think it's a bullish thing. As we reduce the cost of being in any kind of business, which is what happens when you have oil prices go down, in aggregate, consumer incomes go up, and I think it'll be, you know, more protein demand. But it's going to be a mixed bag. We're probably going to export less, I'll use the Russia example, to them, maybe to another country that's less oil dependent, some of those pounds will go there, but domestically it's going to be a very strong thing.
Country of origin labeling continues to be that proverbial political football. Are we going to finally get this thing maybe resolved this year in the WTO?
I refuse to give timeline projections on that issue. Most issues have a long life, and this is no different. You know, there's over a decade of debate on country of origin labeling. We are to the point where the U.S. has appealed the second ruling for WTO. If the process plays out, you would like to think we're towards the end of whatever the end game of this is, but some of my predecessors, their analysts in this, have been saying that for, you know, 6-10 years, so I don't want to kind of give false hope to that. The message has been pretty clear from WTO multiple times that it's not trade compliant. There's a growing, I would call it, groundswell of pushback against COOL within production ag domestically. I think there's political pressure to change something with it, but in terms of timelines, I have learned a lesson, and I will not make any predictions on timelines because this could go on for a lot longer than a rational mind like me might expect it to.
K-State has done studies that shows that really there's not a lot of value back to the industry on those little labels.
Yeah, if I could distill it, and this information's on our Ag Manager website, is there's cost, obviously, to comply with it. So you got to offset that with some kind of benefit. And we talk benefits in terms of meat demand benefit. That's what the advocates of COOL have said is there. The studies we've done, and there's multiple renditions of it, and you've, you know, noted that in different, you know, releases you've done, is there's no evidence of a meat demand bump that's come with COOL, whether it's the 2009 or the 2013 versions, if you like. And the core reason for that, I would argue, is the public's not aware that there's origin labeling, and there wasn't a lot of voluntary labeling to start with. And as a free market economist, I would sit here and assert that if it was really valuable, we would have had more free market voluntary differentiation of products to start with. In the absence of it, that should have been pretty telling. It's a long way of saying more cost, no observed demand benefit, net loss.
Dr. Glenn Tonser, you've got the beef buzz on Ron.
Back on those Texas plains.
Join us, Riders in the Sky, for sizzling hot San Antonio.
It's the 2015 Cattle Industry Annual Convention and NCBA Trade Show.
So grab the family and head to Texas for the latest cattle industry information and education.
Join us in San Antonio, Texas, February 4th through February 7th.
For more information, head to beefusa.org, and we'll see you
back on those Texas plains.
That's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.